We come to we come to worship our God, July the 18th, and we're going to begin with All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. Let us come to our great and wonderful Lord in prayer. Lord, We come to you in prayer. We come to praise you. We come to say that we love you. Lord, we do not know how we would exist without you, because you have made our life so wonderful and so free. And that happened because Jesus came into this world and took our place on the cross of Calvary and dealt with our sin once and for all. You are indeed a wonderful God, and we just want to try and thank you by living the lives that please you, by serving you, by loving you more and more each day. And yet, Lord, we know that without the help of the Spirit, we cannot achieve all that we would like to do. But that's why you've given us the Spirit. Because when we come and accept Jesus as our Saviour, as was promised, the Spirit comes to live and dwell within us in a new, wonderful and powerful way. And that is why you are able to transform us, so that we are not the people that we were, but being born again, we are new people in your family. So, Lord, may you be truly glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, challenge for us. Don't sing it if you don't know, if you don't mean it. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then it goes, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided. Our reading comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing.
Prayer is our way of keeping in touch with God. So we need to believe in prayer. We need to believe in the power of prayer. We need to believe what a great gift it is that we can come and speak to the Lord at any time and in any place. So let us come to him now in believing prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you. Sometimes, Lord, we are not sure what we want to say to you. But, Lord, we value prayer. Sometimes we may be lost for words, but we still value prayer. Why do we value prayer? Because, Lord, we've shared with you many things in the past, and we've seen you answer those prayers in a way that we were not even worthy, and in a way that we didn't really expect to see. But of course you hear our prayers, and of course you answer, because you are a faithful God. And Lord, as we pray now, we want to acknowledge that this is your word. And so, Lord, we simply ask now that you will take control of your word, that you would take control of all the different leaders of nations, of all those people in authority. Lord, if they will not listen to you, we pray that you will persist. For Lord, this is your world, and we want to see, our desire is that the world should be governed by you through those who are chosen to serve. So Lord, we pray for peace. We pray, Lord, for a time when people will learn how to love each other, Lord, get rid of all favouritism or jealousy or the things that spoil us. Help us to know love. Help us to know your love. Help us by the power of the Spirit to love every person we meet. Lord, your world would be in a much better place if all of us were to love each other. And so, Lord, it is for a greater sense of love among nations, a greater sense of love among people that we pray for now. Because, Lord, if your love is seen in us, then there will truly be harmony and peace. And so, Lord, you have shown your love for us. As we think of our loved ones, as we think of people that we live with, people that we work with, as we think of our neighbours, people that we meet, help us, Lord, to be loving at all times. And then, Lord, we know your world will be in a better place. And we know if we all truly love each other, Lord, then we can help each other. We can meet each other in our needs, and we can be truly blessed. So, Lord, hear our prayer, for we bring it in the name of a God of love, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Now the song is, God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, to heal, and to forgive.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. Came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river.
July the 11th, and I wondered, what should the Lord want me to speak about on this occasion? And I thought, well, perhaps believers' baptism and church membership. And someone said to me, well, that's just instructions. That's not a Sunday message, surely. And I thought more about it. And I thought, if a Baptist minister doesn't preach about believers' baptism and church membership, then is he truly a Baptist? So here we are. First of all, believers' baptism. Number one, what is it for? Well, A, it's for those for whom Jesus died. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not die, but would inherit eternal life. It's also for those who acknowledge that we are all sinners. Yes, we are all sinners. But it's also for those who confess their sins. It's also for those who ask Jesus to take control of their lives. And it's all for those who want to be part of God's family. So that's who it's for, my friend. But why be baptized? Why believers' baptism? Well, the end of Matthew's Gospel, we see clearly that Jesus commands it. Jesus says that we should be baptized. Jesus also set us an example in Matthew 3, where he himself went down into the waters and allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. He had no sin. So why did he need to be baptized? I believe it was to set us an example. So why be baptized? Because this is what Jesus commands. This is what he has given as an example for us to follow. Why be baptized? Well, we see clearly in Acts 8 that the early church practiced it. And I can tell you this, my friends, the church has practiced it. The evangelical church particularly has practiced it and does still today. I remember when I was in Hillingdon at Salem Baptist, we had a meeting of ministers from all local churches, and in Hayes there was a very big Roman Catholic church, and the present priest at that time said that he had organized to have a full baptistry, not for christening, but for believers' baptism. When he moved on, I don't know whether they still use it, but that was quite a thing. But he did it, he said, because he believed that that is what the Lord require. So, who is it for? Why be baptized? And three, what does it signify? What does it mean? A, it's a declaration of our union with Jesus. B, it's an act of revelation, the end of an old life and the beginning of the new. It's a sign of cleansing. We go into the water, we drop down, we come back up as new people, new believers, born again. It's the sign of the Spirit's presence. When Jesus was baptized, God, the Father's voice was heard to say, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And as we are baptized, I know this from my personal baptism, I know that the Spirit is there. I felt the Spirit with me throughout it. You might not be surprised at this, but I didn't like going underwater, and I thought I would hate it. But when I came up out of the water, the tears were rolling down my cheeks. And the pastor said to me, "Bruce, did I take you down too far?" And I said, "No, Pastor." I said, "These are tears of joy, for the Spirit is with me." It's also a confession of faith. We are saying that we truly believe in God and we truly believe in what God requires of us. And finally, it is a rite of imitation, a rite of belonging. Those who are baptized as believers are truly part of God's church, universal. So, believers' baptism. Now I want to go to church membership. First of all, it signifies a covenant relationship with God and with God's people locally. We have a covenant relationship, a special relationship with God and his people locally. We come together as a family. It also admits the believer to the place of authority. God wants the church to be successful. God wants the church to obey him, and the Baptist membership believes that the place of authority is the church meeting, where democratically decisions are made under the guidance of the Spirit. And you see, if you're a true believer, then you are part of that family called the church meeting. It also enables the believer to grow and develop in faith. It's very hard to grow in our discipleship if we're always on our own. But if we're part of a church fellowship, then, my friends, it does help us to develop our ministry. It does help us to develop our discipleship. And I can tell you, I know that. Do you know, I've benefited so much from different members of different churches who have helped me to grow. Ministers need to grow as well. We need each other. It also empowers the local church on worship, fellowship, and mission. Because we're a group of believers under the control of God's Spirit, we can be successful in worship, in fellowship, and in mission. It also offers the possibility of positive church discipline. Sometimes there needs to be discipline. It would be wrong if one person was appointed to do that discipline. No, it's the responsibility of the church family working under the Spirit's control to do this together if and when it becomes necessary. And then it links the believer with those of like faith everywhere, both here in this world and in heaven. So I can only recommend that if you've never been baptized as a believer, then consider it, because this is what Scripture says. This is what Jesus asks for, that we should be born again, that we should be baptized, and that we should be a part of a Christian fellowship where we work, love, support, and help each other. God bless you all. Amen. Now, we're going to sing "I Serve a Risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Lord, as we come to the end of our worship today, we hope, we pray, that if it is your will, that we might be able next Sunday to come together at the Willows in worship. So Lord, be with us in the meantime. May we know your love, your support, and your peace. May we know the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen.
make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Lord, turn his face toward you
and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Second guessing, we know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you
and a thousand generations.
And your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you.
Children and their children.